Hello, everybody, and welcome to this broadcast of the Alchemy of Light show. I am Jamil Graham, your host, and this today is a pre-record for the upcoming broadcast on March the 9th. This show is an exploration of the mind-body-spirit connection in our health. In this first hour, we will be greeting and learning from Sonia Barrett. In the second hour, we'll be live with Dr. Joseph Mara. So the Alchemy of Light broadcast is a celebration and exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. And the conversation of consciousness may be the bridge itself or the underlying knowing of where science and spirituality have always been connected all along. And in our exploration of the mind-body-spirit connection in our health, it comes to the forefront in ways that it cannot be denied. So I am so grateful. We are very lucky to be welcoming today Sonia Barrett. She is an author, an educator, the creator of the Sovereign Mind radio program. She is also currently working on a new production called The Business of Disease that was the inspiration from an article that she wrote about the marketing of breast cancer. And we will we'll go into all of that, but let's first welcome Sonia. Hi, Sonia.
Hello. Good to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us. And your journey has been an exploration not only of these sciences and your book, The Holographic Canvas, but your life experience entwined in them, which I find especially rich when we're hearing from somebody, because you didn't just write these words, you lived them. Is that correct?
Well, let's put it this way. Yes, I live them. I'm still living them. And there are many more portions of what I wrote that I guess I will live as well in the future, because you're constantly learning and honing in and sharpening your spiritual skills. It's never done.
Yeah, is that the understatement of the world or what? Oh, dear.
Never done. You're always under construction. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, share with the listeners a little bit, if you will, about the holographic canvas and the insights that became the foundation of how we all met you and your work in this exploration of consciousness.
Well, let's see. The book, The Holographic Canvas, it was written, I guess it took maybe 10 years, but I always explained that I wasn't trying to write a book. I was actually writing, you know, I was writing information as it was coming to me, and I was understanding it, and it was just my own exploration and trying to understand life and the whole design as much as possible to the best of my ability. And, you know, over time it started to unfold in a way that I said, you know, it looks like I probably have enough content here for a book. So I just started working on different components, different pieces of what I had written, and it would change over time, and until eventually it was at a stage where the content was ready. It was stable enough, let's put it that way, because it's always changing, but it was stable enough to now share it, to now put it in book form and share it, because it was more foundational, just exploring all the potentials and really understanding what that means in terms of exploring all the possibilities and the fact that we live in an ocean of potentials, really trying to bring that understanding and that awareness home in the book. And it, you know, it goes into a lot of different components, but it's more about owning the fact that we are ultimately masters of our lives on a great many levels. Yeah, I talk a little bit and touch on things like the idea of time travel and, you know, just a whole assortment of possibilities and what that could mean. And just to stretch your mind. So encouraging people to stretch their mind and their imagination and to see what where they can go with that.
That's great. And the was it your passion to fuse mind and matter, as you put it, or was it just something you became entrenched with solving in response to your own life? I mean, did you come with this idea, I've got to figure this out. How does the mind work with the creation? Or did you just work into it because you needed to figure it out for your own sanity?
I probably just sort of walked into some of it. I think the core curiosity I had was just really trying to understand what this meant when we are alive and the life that we live. What does it all really mean? I think that was ultimately my core reasoning at that moment. Anyway, back in 1992, when I really went full force in trying to understand my life and just the overall idea of having a human experience. And, you know, I always explain that as a child, I was born curious, so I already had many questions that were never going to be typical, you know, in terms of other people or in terms of even my own religious upbringing. But I, you know, eventually sort of pursued that curiosity as time went on, and I'm very delighted now to say what seemed so foreign at the time, I now hear other scientists coming out, and more people are starting to question something that way back when nobody questioned. And that question for me was, how is it that nobody seemed to think it was very odd that we just come into this life and we die, and everybody seemed to be pretty okay with that concept. And it's, you know, for some people it could sound really, well, what do you mean? That's just natural. But, you know, you have to understand, for me as a child, as children often do, they're just things that don't add up, and adults will, you know, kind of shove you away or tell you, you know, because they can't answer it. That was a curiosity of mine. Well, of course, yes, now longevity and a lot of research is going into those concepts, and they're starting to realize more and more that we really live life more on programming, more on beliefs that we've received, maybe not just in terms of this life, but in terms of what's even in seem to be encoded in just the overall human experience, and, you know, does it have to be so? So, yeah, so my questioning has always been very way outside the box, but I am happy to say that today, now, there are so many people who email me or coming forward and saying those were my very questions, and I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want people to think I was crazy, but I hear, again, it's scientists that are coming out to and saying, you know, and questioning some of these things and moving forward on it. So my thing is that I encourage people to step outside the box, you know, step outside the box, and it's okay to wonder and to question things. We don't have to believe everything as it's been told to us. And it was that kind of thinking for me early in my life that allowed me the freedom to be able to explore beyond what I had been taught and to realize that behind the scenes of, you know, physical reality, that there was truly, you know, a whole different reasoning back there, and that this was really just a huge set design, just a huge theater. And to me, that was very significant. And from there, yes, sciences started to enter my mind because I'd never taken quantum physics before. I'd never taken physics, period, before. And so the things that were that I was understanding that were unfolding in my own mind were scientific, some of which I didn't even completely understand at the time. And as time went on, things would come my way, information that would be presented to me. I don't know, I could be going by a store and for whatever reason, I stop. But somehow I would get directed to something that would be confirming that I am somehow heading in the right direction of thought, and that there was more, and that's what I pursued, is the more, never settling for what I was taught or what I was told, but always wanting more. Now we know we live in an ocean of possibilities, and if that's the case, then how can we dare limit ourselves to set beliefs and limiting beliefs? You know, we can do that if we want to, but I think to understand that it's just a limitation. We're capable of so much, and that's what I discovered is the fact that we're capable. There's no limits to what we can do.
That's fantastic. I really, really appreciate that, because it's true, for one thing, and the process itself is the challenge then. Well, how do we reprogram all of the limiting beliefs in the box that we arrived in? Every box has its four walls, and, you know, you're absolutely correct. Dare you push on the wall or try to climb the wall? You know, that's so scary. Oh, my God, you know, but you're absolutely correct. That is the only way that you will find out if there is anything else outside the box. And you've done that. So will you please share with us how you experience the hologram and the holographic coding, and where you find our potential in our ability to change the coding? How do you see that connection? So we jump out of the box and we're looking at the box and we're going, whoa, that was an interesting experience, but now here I am in all these oceans of possibilities, but I've still got the box in me, you know? And how did you figure out the coding? Please explain, share with us a bit about the coding and how that works.
Well, to simplify coding, I think we have to just kind of start on a very simple level with that. I think the base coding that we're dealing with is just the overall subconscious programming, just the overall beliefs that we are programmed with from our families, from social programming, educational programming, the corporate programming of the whole environment, the whole structure of things, how we are, where we work. Every one of these groups that I'm speaking of, or every one of these little systems that I'm speaking of, has their own sort of rules, unspoken rules, and beliefs that are transferred to all of us. Our parents just sort of pass those things on. And so all around us, our environment dictates to us what we should believe. And because we are such external, we become such external beings, we validate life by what we see. We validate what's possible by what we can see with our eyes, that we're heavily influenced by many of those things, marketing, it's advertising everywhere. We're just inundated with subconscious programs. And to just even begin to understand that is a huge leap into recognizing that something has to change. Because it's such a subtle process that a lot of people will really want to believe that they're not like that, but the programming is so subtle in terms of, how you live your life, and again, what you believe. Obviously, you live your life based on what you believe. You're making choices based on what you believe. Your perception is going to be based on what you believe, and as most people will know, this is subconscious. We're living from mainly the subconscious programs, those beliefs that are embedded in our subconscious mind, whether it be from also from traumatic situations that things we misinterpreted as children, just a whole lot of that kind of thing. And so to understand that and to begin to examine one's own life, everything that you live in your life, and to even acknowledge, you know, your own happiness, am I happy, whether it be in a relationship, a job, or where you live, and just stopping at simple things like that, and asking, well, why am I still here? You know, why am I still participating in a kind of life that doesn't make me happy? And you'd be surprised to find out that there are belief systems from, you know, that you've been encoded with that keep you in these situations, even though you'll find other ways to validate, because we're very good at that, to give ourselves reasons why we're doing what we're doing without ever really seeing the core program that led us to those choices or cause us to continue to live these kinds of experiences. So to me, it starts at that basic level. And a lot of times, people who are looking at spiritual evolution, or they're saying they want more spiritually. But then, you know, there are things that we just don't want to look at. We want to leap to this place that we don't even know what that means. We just want to go leap there. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to deal with the work that's involved. And it's all these little things that I'm speaking of. It's kind of the training wheel. You have the training wheel on until, you know, you get to these different levels of comfort that you can take the wheels off. But we have to examine all of those things, examine the life you live more than anything else, and that's where you have to begin. And be true to yourself. I'm always saying that. Got to be true to yourself. Making stuff up and telling ourselves stories, you know, to justify how life is for us or how it's unfolding. Well, I'm in this situation. I'm staying in this situation because, you know, because of the kids, because we're staying in this job. I don't like it, but the benefits are good, and I don't want to leave, even though I'm unhappy. So you've got to, like, be totally honest with yourself and just go, what sense am I making? That's the bottom line of it.
So the coding then, to just see if I got it right, from what you were suggesting, is that the coding is something that is permeated in our consciousness without us knowing it from birth or even before birth.
And, oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so this is what you refer to as the code, the program that we've come in to play out. And that in the gentle pushing of questioning, and not that it's every day a gentle day, but just in the suggestion, just in the honest reflection and the honest questioning of what is my life, what does it mean, mm-hmm. that starts the decoding process all by itself. So you don't actually...
That starts it right there, because there are many other components, levels to this, you know, and... To try to jump into that, all of that kind of information, I think for some people it doesn't make any sense, because I can say to you that either way you have to begin there. You have to begin mm-hmm. at that point. There are other components to this, and I can touch on the fact that now we hear. We've seen it. People have been sending me that email of an article that came out a couple months ago, which I had seen it already, where they're speaking about the universe. Is it, you know, is it the computerized system? Is it a program system? Well, I've been talking about a lot of that stuff for several years, and now finally, I'm seeing more and more of that. When I was saying it, it probably sounded like I was a little crazy. Mm-hmm. But there are other levels to this understanding, but a person has to start there. To jump from where you are, if you can't even own what I'm saying right now about your own life and your own beliefs and the conditioning of the family and society and all of those things, if you can't see it in yourself, but you can only see it in other people, how are you going to then decode or even see the bigger picture of programming? That's the reason why I say you start there, because it starts to peel like an onion. It just starts, the layers start to come off, and then you can really step outside the box. If stepping outside the box it happens also in stages, because there is no end to, you know, getting out bigger and bigger and bigger, stepping out the box further and further and further. So because this transformation, this change, this peeling, this changing of these programs, the limitations that say what you can't do, because it goes, you know, so deeply, you have to examine that, and then you can step forward. And we're going to see a lot more in terms of what science is showing us. But this idea that we call life is simply that. It's an idea, it's a concept, and it's an imagined experience. And we can also go to physics, which I'm always referencing David Bohm, but we can go to some of what he discovered, again, when he speaks of the universe, being a phantom at heart. At heart, it is a phantom, meaning it is, but it isn't. It exists, but it doesn't. So you start, once you get the programming off, because it's the programming, it's the kind of basic programming that is causing life to look as static as it does, where life, everything looks so immovable and so finite. It's that kind of conditioning that goes beyond, yes, it goes beyond just the mere basic programming that I'm speaking of, you know, beyond this time and space, and it's been like this on the planet for a very, very long time. One reason is because it is part of the human experience. So I am also careful to emphasize that we don't want to disqualify and to hate the human experience, and to look at it from that perspective. What we must understand is that being human is to be an experience, you know, all the possibilities of what it is to be human. Now, maybe you and I might not carry out particular experiences, but certainly because everything is allowed, otherwise it wouldn't happen, because everything is allowed, human beings experience a vast array of possibilities of what it is to be human. And then we start going through an evolution. Then some of us begin to wake up, and certain actions you no longer participate in, not just merely because of a judgment of good or bad, they are no longer necessary. And you begin to move into a more centered space, and you begin to evolve out of a certain kind of thinking, a certain kind of behavior. So there is a grand evolution to all of this. And again, it begins with just the simple knowingness that life really has been built on a set of beliefs and a set of conditions and a set of how we should experience life. Everybody has lived that, you know, a certain kind of understanding that we all have about how we should live. So, it begins there, and then it goes bigger. So I hope that was clear. I hope that had some clarity to it.
Yeah, it did. I think it was clear. What you're saying is that you always have to come home to you and questioning your life, and that there are many, many layers of this, and that it's not just about our experience. It's about an evolutionary experience that we're a part of that's been going on for eons.
Exactly.
And that our part is really important, so that it's important to go to it with an ability somehow in ourselves to embrace it, even if we don't like it.
Exactly. Yeah,
that
yeah.
That we've somehow arrived here, and that this is our human experience.
And it's what it is. You're like a free agent here with, you know, the experience you're having, and the trick is to be able to really hone in on the life that you're living and just decide, you know, what you'd like to change about it. Is it a stagnant life? Is it just a repetitious life? Are you living just the same life over and over and over every day? Is there evolution to it? And, of course, you know, again, science is also showing the necessity of acquiring more knowledge and of doing new things and of discovering new things as to how, what kind of impact that has on our health. It makes such a difference when we're creating, you know, there's new neuropathways all the time. We have to keep discovering and growing and expanding. The limitation can be extremely stagnating. And even for, you know, people who are very, what do you call it, staunch spiritual people who really hone in on the fact that, well, you know, I'm really, you know, spiritual. Well, I say everybody's spiritual. We have to be. It's just a matter of awareness. Mm-hmm. But people who are like that, and they've been doing the same thing for like 20, 25 years, they never say anything different. They never grow beyond the same thing that they're saying. It's just no expansion to it. That, you know, and then sometimes you wonder, you know, what happens with that? Well, you know, some certain people, there are things that happen with them. The body is responding to the consciousness, and the consciousness, you know, it has needs to keep tapping into more and more and more and more, because that's, you know, that's energy, and your body is obviously picking up on that and living off of that energy, that charged energy, that online feeling that you're always online and open. It's life that's flowing in. So there's, you know, there's definitely a great science to all of this, this whole idea of spirituality, and we shouldn't single it out where we feel that we are more spiritual than the next person. And I think that that's a setup. That's a huge setup right there. Everybody is doing their own thing on this journey, and I always see even the guy pushing the shopping cart down the street, or whatever it is he or she is doing, that is what they are living right at that moment, and it doesn't make you or I any what we would call better. We're just in different places of awareness in terms of our journey, our own personal evolution.
I agree with that, and I appreciate you saying that too. And so in the science that you're showing, the stagnation in our consciousness, meaning the stagnation in our routine, the stagnation itself would then manifest in our bodily health. We would create some kind of an imbalance in our body function. Is that, that's what you're saying?
Right, right. Absolutely. Because, you know, you need life. You need life force always.
I had the vision of a brook, you know, the wandering water. It keeps moving. But if you dam it, then it becomes stagnant and all kinds of things grow in there, you know, which is its own life. It's got its own process. And there's nothing bad or wrong about it, but it's just
different. It's the way it is. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Not a judgment. It's just, you know, this is just what happens. When you do this thing, this is what happens. You know, for every action, there's a reaction. This is what happens. When nothing is happening over here, you're doing nothing, you're not growing, then these are the end results. So so that's kind of how, you know, I think we have to look at it. I think we don't, we're not looking at life like, you know, a good or bad thing, or, you know, or from a judgment perspective of what someone else is doing. I think the focus just really has to be on you as an individual and really looking at your own journey and how you can change it, or if we want to use the word improve on it, or just create more latitude to your own experience. I think that, to me, that is the greatest gift that I think we can give to what we call the rest of the world. I don't think it's so much about going out there and trying to change the world and change people. You can't really change people anyway. You can influence or impact their lives, I think, more so based on just your own life as, you know, being viewed. I think that can send a big ripple, you just living a transformed, a continuously transforming experience.
Absolutely. And we are talking to Sonia Barrett. Will you please tell us now, Sonia, where people might be able to find you, your websites and such?
Yes. You tell us where people can find you, and I always laugh. I'm always thinking I'm trying to find where I'm, trying to find me as well. So when somebody locates me, you can email me.
Okay, if I see you passing by, I'll send you home. Okay, how's that?
Yeah. Please direct me. Where am I? Oh my gosh, that was too funny. But my main website is spiritinform.com. Spiritinform.com. That's my main website, and that has, you can get my book there. Obviously, you can get it pretty much anywhere, but you can get it on the website, and you can also. There's a lot of lectures and workshops. Everything that I've done is recorded. The videos and audios, and I've done quite a bit. I've done some 6-month workshops where we meet once a month, and those have been just phenomenal. So those are on the website as well. And these work, the workshops that I do, they're definitely not what you call real fluffy, basic stuff. It's like people really owning themselves and really going and making things happen. It's not me. I facilitate the workshop, but people are really doing the work for themselves and really coming out changed, because you're doing it. And so I'm very excited about that, to see and hear from people the changes that they've made in their own lives. It's waking up. It's like rubbing the sleep from your eyes and just sort of waking up and going, so I can do this. I can grow. I can expand. I can be as large as I want to be. So, so there's a lot of that on the website, and then there's a documentary website called thebusinessofdisease.com. It's called The Business of Disease, and that's the website. You can go there and see who's, going to be in the film. We're still looking for more sponsors, so anybody out there who wants to. We're in post-production, but we still need more funding, and it will come because the rest of it did, but anybody who wants to be part of that and helping, that would be wonderful. And I suspended my radio show actually for the last 6 months because the film has just made me so busy that I really haven't been able to do any shows right now, but that's sovereignmindradio.com. And do you want me to mention the lecture or do you want me to wait?
You can mention whatever you want.
All right. I like her. the lecture coming up, it's a 2-day lecture, and it's called Time Simulations and the Engineering of Reality, How Beliefs Become the Laws of Physics. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely going to be 2 days of very interesting, engaging, and intense information. And maybe I can just read you a briefing here. Reality is engineered by a network of time simulations processed through the brain, the mind, and the body. Your spirit has always been free. To stretch our minds in understanding the phenomenon of time will aid in dissolving old beliefs about one's longevity, one's destiny, and one's ability to re-engage in a limitless life. We are the ultimate programmers. So if you go to the site, there will be more information on it. And actually, it was going to be a live lecture in Los Angeles, but as of today, I actually am going to make it a webinar as well so that people from wherever they are will be able to participate, will be able to be part of it. And that's all on the website, spiritinform.com. And it's going to be fun.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, let's go from here to talking about the business of disease. Let's talk about the documentary and what you're up to with this and how it is connected to consciousness and the mind-body connection and what you call the hypnosis of marketing. We're coming up into the last 15 minutes, and I think this is really important to expand on a little bit because this is a hot item. It's also, it crosses over so many areas in our lives that might help people recognize what this programming looks like. You know, it gives us a more clear understanding of how this might actually materialize in our life in case there are, you know, people who haven't really gotten that we are, you know, basically controlled by these programs. You know, this is a really good example of how the programming can manipulate people. And so I think it has value on multi-dimensions. So can we please go there for the last bit of our show here?
Yes. Let's see. Well, it started out with the fact that I got tired of the marketing, I call it, of breast cancer. And I really began to wonder, you know, what the effect was, what kind of effect it was having on people. You know, was it, you know, how was it influencing us? I mean, husbands, you know, women, whatever, daughters, girlfriends, so on and so forth, because there was so much fear involved in it, and that's really what how it started. Because I just got tired of every time I, you know, I'd go in the store and it's like, "Do you want to donate to breast cancer?" And it just was so marketed, and there was so much money about being made from this whole idea, and everybody in pink. It just seemed like it was just very encoded to me. You can't look at pink anymore without thinking that now. You know, you see pink, and you automatically think that. I think a lot of the people I've talked to, that's what they feel. And these are even people who have had breast cancer that have emailed me, and they were very happy about the article because they also said that they got tired of the overdose of marketing. And a lot of people felt that way, but they were scared to say anything because they didn't want to offend anyone. And this wasn't done to offend anyone. This was really to bring an awareness of how the subtlety of these things and the symbols, the pink ribbon, it's become a symbol. And that the speaking of subconscious programming, you know, that the subconscious mind takes in all this stuff. So it takes in the symbol. So automatically, you know, it associates certain things now with it. As soon as it sees a pink ribbon, and you don't have to say anything, it knows. And then there's a fear that's coming from this. There are a lot of women are fearing that. Then you hear women are cutting off healthy breasts just in case. So there was this overdose going on, and that's really how this film was born. Now, I didn't know that it was going to turn out like this. I thought I was just going to do a little, you know, documentary, just interviewing a few people, and it just turned into something much bigger. So one of the things, too, I wanted to say, I always like to bring this up, but in the article, which you can find on spiritinform.com, in the article I was talking about the fact that they have children, they have the breast cancer Barbie, and I really looked at that, and I thought, you know, it's sending a message to little girls. It's sending a message that this is now a commonplace in our world. Getting breast cancer or cancer is now commonplace, and it starts to almost become, you know, what, like the common cold. Well, you may get it. And I don't think that was necessary to do that, but there's so much money being made from this, you know, from all of this, that why stop at one little, you know, kind of marketing. Mm-hmm. Let's go big in an NFL store with all the pink stuff and the toilet paper with little pink ribbons on it and just everywhere. So that was really how that got started. But people need to understand that, yes, there are symbols everywhere of many different things. Anything that they want us to take in. It's in a symbol. I always say, if you see the UPS truck go by, even if it doesn't have the sign, you see the colors. You already have those colors in you. You know it's UPS. You know it's FedEx. That's the same way with everything else. That's how we are encoded. We see a luxury car, we see the Mercedes-Benz symbol, immediately what does that conjure up in our head? Money, luxury, that, and it just goes on and on and on. Commercials, for symptoms, people picking up symptoms simply just from hearing the commercials. You didn't have anything wrong with them before, but suddenly they do. On and on, never stopping. And where I think we are impacted, I was on William Henry's show yesterday, and I was going to tell you something about that. I was on his show yesterday, and there's something that I was going to tell you that we spoke about in terms of advertising and how people are, are impacted. It just kind of slipped my mind. But anyway, I think they get the idea that it's really important to begin to really question that. Oh, the fear of annihilation. That was what I was going to say. There's a core survival program in all human beings, you know, is to survive, is to live. We'll fight for life. And the fact that, you know, we will do that, and there's that core survival program, and then there's a core fear of not being alive, that is played on very, very heavily, very heavily. And we see it in the media, even if you don't watch the news, as soon as you get on the internet, there's fear, 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 fear. There is, you know, it's be careful, you know, it's just, you never know. Lock up, do this, do that, the security, you know, guns. You're just constantly being bombarded, you know, this vaccine is coming out because this a strand of this new virus is coming, and so people are constantly in this wheel of fear because it's just being tossed at you one thing after another. As soon as you think you recover, here comes something else. It just goes on and on and on. So emotionally, you know, that the body has to deal with all of that fear, and then on top of the fact that the things that we have in us, things that are suppressed, those things play a huge role. So I also talk about that in the film, the emotional aspect of it, what kind of role that actually plays on the body, because that, you know, chokes the body as well, you know, no oxygen to the cells. A great impact on our lives. Our emotional state is extremely important, and we can go back to what I was talking about earlier with questioning one's life and being true to oneself. Because many times things will happen with our health, and we would never associate it with other things that have happened to us, and emotionally we're still in that space. We never would make that connection. And because Western medicine doesn't really discuss it like that. It's topical. You know, we look for the topical value. What's wrong with you on the surface? Well, let's cut it out. Let's change that. But we never go to the core of it. So, yes, sometimes it will come back. You run the risk of it coming back because the root, the where it's coming from, has not been addressed. And so it's a setup. You know, so you go for more medication, or you go for more this, or you go for more that, but it never really addresses the heart, the root of the problem, and that's where coming home to oneself and being true to oneself and being honest with oneself becomes so important, because if you can just allow yourself to see the truth of how you feel, you know, the things that you kind of buried, to just go ahead and see how you feel, and go into a space of being able to maybe to be able to move beyond it, but you can't move beyond it if you're in denial, you know, of those experiences. Mm-hmm. But you do what you need to release emotionally. That's extremely important because, like a pimple, you know, it'll pop, and eventually the body, because the body takes its cue from the thoughts, from, you know, mainly from that, from the emotional space, from the thoughts that are passing through and your belief system and your perception, eventually it's going to get either just full or just so stagnant, and that's the response we get, you know, the response. But everything is fixable and changeable, and that's something that we have to understand, and how, you know, how do we make that happen. But it's a wonderful mechanism, this body. It's wonderfully designed when we can get the three to work together, the spirit, mind, and body, when we can really understand how those three work together, it can really make all the difference in the world.
It certainly can. It certainly can. And boy, the conversation of the body intelligence is, boy, itself a whole nother 2-hour broadcast. You know, the phenomena of the intelligence of the body is just awe-inspiring. And a friend of mine and I were talking the other day how the body will heal itself if we let it and give it what it needs. And, you know, whenever we give our power away and put somebody else's authority over our own inner knowing, we put ourselves in a very vulnerable place, and we are not in the driver's seat of our choices at that point. And we are taught from birth that that's the right way to do it. And it is a personal, very honest reflection to question and to change that. And I know, and everybody's on their own trajectory. Everybody will do that in their time. There's no right way to do it. It's just going to be when you're ready. And that's why we do programs like this, because somebody's listening and somebody will be ready, you know. And if one person gets inspired and it's their time, that's great. That's why we're all in this together, you know. It's a forever learning curve. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Absolutely. And you said something really important, too, there. You said a lot of things important. But this piece, I think, is really very important, is the fact that we have been taught to give responsibility of for ourselves over to somebody else, whether it be, you know, the government, you know, the educational system. Obviously, you know, it starts with your parents, because they obviously need to be there and in charge of directing you in the very beginning. But we are just so programmed to hand it over. So it's easy to hand it over to the doctor, because we are told that as long as you've got a PhD behind your name, you or an MD behind your name, you know what's best for me. So there is that diminished power to begin with. We don't feel that we are capable of deciding for ourselves, and that's why government works so well, because, you know, we feel that we're not capable, but we don't realize that we do, though. Because it's so subtle, we don't realize that we hand over ourselves and say, you know what, here, you decide for me, because I really don't know. Now, you tell me what to do in a subtle way that makes me think that I'm making these choices, and I am, even though you've just sort of directed me, put me in a direction that I will choose from these five limiting things, and I won't know that that's what I did. Because it will seem like I'm making my own authentic choices. It's a very subtle process. So it's just, you know, it's nothing to fear. There's nothing to feel bad about. There's nothing to feel guilty about. It's just the way. It's the ride. It's the way it is. And that evolution is about waking up and taking back responsibility for your being. You live in this body. You are the owner of this vehicle. That's yours. And the journey is also yours. It's a personal, and nobody can live your journey for you. There's the illusion of that happening, but that's not the case. So we just have to take back responsibility of ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wow, well, we're coming up on our time very, very fast. This has been a really fantastic chat. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Alchemy of Light broadcast. And I want to please offer you the last few minutes here and tell us again where we can find you, and tell us again about that great show, that great lecture, teaching, webinar that you have coming up. That sounds really good. So if you could please tell us in your closing again where to reach you, and then we'll wrap up the show.
Okay. Yes, again, my main website is spiritinform.com. Lots of stuff there, once again. You, as soon as you get on the homepage, that lecture webinar that's coming up, Time Simulations and the Engineering of Reality, there's a banner there. You can just click on it. It will take you to the page that will give you details on the lecture. You can register for it. And, yeah, so that's where you need to go. And then, of course, the documentary, thebusinessofdisease.com. There are T-shirts, so you can even support the film by ordering a T-shirt that's wonderful, 100% cotton, but it's that great soft cotton, not the one that shrinks up and looks weird after. This is good quality stuff. You can order a T-shirt, and what else is there? Yeah, and I think I covered it. I feel like I'm missing something, but I think I might have covered it for right now. Those two websites, at least.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This is being the Alchemy of Light first hour broadcast with Sonia Barrett. We will have a break, and then we will return in the live broadcast with Dr. Joseph Mara. I am Jamil Graham, your host, and thank you again for joining us. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Alchemy of Light for the second hour. This is Jamil Graham, your host, and this second hour, we are joined in our exploration of the spirit-mind-body connection in our health with Dr. Joseph Mara. Hi, Dr. Joseph Mara.
Hey, how are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. These energies that are coming in the last few days are pretty powerful, though. Those who are really sensitive, I'm sure that those who are listening who are empaths will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think that might be a great place to start. Let's just start there. Well, actually, let's start for the listeners who have just arrived and have never heard of you. I'll do the little introduction, and then I think that's very important to explore, because there's obviously a lot going on, and that will be a relief for so many of us. So. Dr. Joseph Mara, you are an energy healer, and you work with several modalities, which include being a trained nurse, a life coach, hypnotist, working with angel card readings, and Reiki. And will you please share in brief with the listeners a little bit about your training, your background, including all of your formal training and your alternative independent studies as well, so we have a little bit of an idea of where you're coming from and the experience that you're bringing.
Okay. Okay, being brief. Well,
yes, again.
I've started out as a family nurse practitioner. I have an associate degree, bachelor's, master's degree, and a doctorate degree, and all of which are in the nursing field. However, my master's is in a family nurse practitioner, and my doctorate is DNP, which is Doctor of Nursing Practice. And as many people know, nurse practitioners function independently in many of the states in the United States, and New Mexico is one of those. Originally, I had an urgent care center I developed in Pennsylvania, and it kind of grew into three separate urgent care centers. And throughout my life, I always wondered if there was other modalities that I could add to something that I intended to be, like a family nurse practitioner. I wondered if I could implement some of the other modalities, such as hypnotherapy and Reiki energy, or energy healing, into that type of healing to offer patients a choice. And that's basically what I did. And I ran these clinics from 2006 up until 2011. In 2008, I became a Reiki master and a hypnotherapist. And again, making this brief, I'm trying to be as brief as I can. I had a near-death experience years ago, which I really think catapulted me into the spiritual awakening that I currently have. And I've always questioned the tight box that religion kind of put everybody in. And I would think that you would, each individual person had the choice to go out and look for themselves and prove to themselves what is the right religion or spirituality for themselves. But what I found through my research was that it kind of contains you. And if you're not in the right religion, then you're going to go to hell. And that never really made sense to me. So to be brief, I started out as a family nurse practitioner and opened up those practices. I offered modalities such as the Reiki healing or energy healing, the hypnotherapy, angel card readings. And I traveled the globe, at least the United States, initially, and then I researched the Mayan civilization and things like that, just to get a grasp on what's really going on the planet. And then I had to develop a radio talk show called Universal Talk so that I had a platform to tell people what was really going on, because whenever I would tell my family members, they would think I'm crazy, but yet I'm experiencing these things. And not to mention that the patients that would come into my practice, they would tell me certain things that we're not trained in medicine to deal with. So what do you do with these people? You can't tell every person that they're crazy and here's a pharmaceutical, here's a medicine to alleviate this problem when it's actually something that's naturally occurring. So in brief, hopefully I gave a good summary, but I was a little scattered there.
Well, that was great. That was great. Yeah, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. And so you're training, I think it's interesting, the near-death experience and the formal training and the exploration, all driven by your own passion to know and to be of a greater service to humanity. And thank you for that. And you are also on faculty at the EXO University that we'll cover in the interview as well. But I wanted to make sure I mentioned that as well, because you're sharing your light in many capacities now. So this is really special. And will you then tell us, from your understanding of the energies of the planet and what you've studied, let's pick up right where you started now. Talk to us about the energetic changes that are happening on the planet and how it might be affecting us. Please share with us what it means to be an empath, and how is a human empathic, and how can we assume that all humans are empathic?
Well, basically, we're all born onto this planet, which is electromagnetic. So scientifically speaking, we know through research that everything is energy, and more specifically, electromagnetic. And whatever the Earth goes through, we, because we're grounded to the Earth, we're living and we're a part of this Earth, we feel what the Earth goes through. We also feel what the universe goes through. And as I always say, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. When you look at the visual spectrum of light, human beings can only see the very center. Like if you would put your finger, and the only reason I'm doing this is because we're on the radio, to kind of put it into a visual perspective. If you put your hands in front of you and you put your two pointer fingers up and maybe 12 inches apart, if you look in the very center of that, about a half an inch is what we can see. Beyond that, on the right and on the left, there are other waves of energy, such as ultraviolet or infrared, microwave. We can't physically see them as humans, but that doesn't mean they don't exist. We know because we've developed tools to measure these. So just to put into perspective for people that can't get behind the idea, well, if I don't see it, then I don't believe it. Well, there's a lot of things that go on out there that we can't perceive unless we develop a tool to measure that particular thing. So that being said, we are also, what I believe, we are spiritual beings living out a human experience. We incarnate into these lifetimes to do that very thing, just to experience, to help one another along the spiritual path for spiritual growth, for the growth of consciousness. And everything is connected and interconnected. And what has been done on this planet up until now is, whether it be in the military, in education, even in medicine, everything is compartmentalized. So nobody has the full picture of what's really going on in the world, because everything, you put your blinders on and you're focused to your specialty, so to speak, and that's what you stay to. But if you're a curious individual and you're like, well, wait a minute, how does that connect to this? And then all of a sudden you start putting all the pieces of the puzzle together and you have a broader picture. And that's basically what I've done for myself, and I try to bring that to anybody that would like to discuss it, just like we're on this radio show. So the energy, getting back to the energy, each one of us is energetic in nature. And with the vibratory frequency, if you look on the scale of vibration, something that's really thick and dense would have a very slow and wide vibration if you looked on it as a wave. Whereas something that's a higher vibration, such as a photon of light, would be very fast and very close together. So just to kind of pull it all together, the way energy works is we are all connected. Whether you're a dense being, like a dense thing, like a rock, or whether you're a being of love and light. And a lot of people believe in angels. They just hang at a different vibratory frequency, and some of us, you know, refer to them as dimensions. And so together, we collectively feel the Earth, the universe, the cosmos, as energetic flows of energy from the sun come towards us. We feel this because we're all connected electromagnetically or energetically, however you want to look at it. So all of us are empathic in some form. Now, whether we have the blinders on and we choose to believe in it, that's another story. Because we've been influenced through education, through the media, since we've been born. And that gives us each our own individual perspective or our own truth as we go through life. So when somebody speaks their truth and it doesn't ring true to another individual, that doesn't mean they're wrong. It just means that they're at a different place in their consciousness or awareness, if that makes sense. Mm. So hopefully I described that okay. I mean, this is a big story.
Yeah, it is, and I think you did a good job beginning that that explanation. And I would like to perhaps, could you elaborate a little bit more in sharing with us a more total summary of what a human experiences in general, in the mental and the emotional and the physical and the spiritual realms, so that the idea of connecting energetically might be a little easier for us to hone in and understand. When you say feeling, you know, where do these feelings come from? How are we connected by feelings, especially if we aren't aware of them? So perhaps you could share with us a little bit more of the makeup of a human and the totality of the experience.
Sure. Yeah, you know, we try to, or we've been taught that we're just these physical beings that may have a spirit that goes to heaven or hell or something like that. But we're so much more than that. We're multidimensional. We're energetic. We have what most people can at least get behind because they've been taught about the mind body, our mental mind, our physicalness. We know because we can feel it, touch it. We can use our five senses. There's also the spiritual body, which a lot of religions say that we have a soul or a spirit within us. Then there's the emotional body. And the emotional body is really closely connected to the spirit body or the energetic body, which is, let's see, there's five parts that I would like to talk about: the mind body, the physical body, the spiritual body, the emotional, and energetic. And what we found is through the tool, auric photography, is that those psychics that have been seeing auras and energetic fields around people now can be proven through this auric photography. Many of us couldn't see these types of energies, but that didn't mean they didn't exist. So the people that were psychics in the past got burned at the stake because they were different or they had a different ability than other people. And they thought they would, because of fear, they were considered demonic or something like that. Anyway, we have all these aspects of ourselves that we don't really look at because we're not taught that way. But it's really important, I'm glad you brought it up, is to define humanity is to look at all aspects of who we really are. And if you look just at the physical part of us and you look at the various glands within the body, those are really closely connected to our chakra centers. And when one of these things is out of balance, the rest of the body is out of balance. So we use our physical body for that feeling, right? We also have a mind body where we have a knowing. We just know. especially women that have children, have this intuitive knowing when their children are hurt or if there's a twin, you know, when they break an arm, they have that physical feeling because there's that energetic connection. And there's such, their stream of energy is so closely related that that's why they're more empathic to one another than, say, myself to someone in Australia, for example, if that makes sense.
Sure.
We're vibrating at a similar vibration, I guess, is the best way to put it. So, yes, there's so many more aspects. And, I mean, in an hour show, it would be very difficult to go through each one, the mind body, the physical body. But just with those two, let's just go with the mind body. We only use 8 to 10% of our brain. We know this. What is the rest used for? The physical body, the DNA. We only use, what, 3 to 5%. What's the rest used for? We're told that it's junk. Is it really junk? I don't think so. I think that we just don't know what it is all for, or some of the aspects of humanity that would be exposed with the DNA that we, through the research, it would make the Catholic, or not the, the religious, realm kind of fall, because it proves we're multidimensional beings. We're not just physical beings.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And I really appreciate the way that the DNA RNA conversation is maturing, and that the curiosity of people is becoming a more dominant energy than the established norm that's been held in place largely by violence. You know, these guys are bullies, and they've been pushing their agenda pretty aggressively for some millennia now. And those of us that have been curious and pushing and pushing and pushing are starting to become more commonplace, where it's such a fascinating time to be alive, to really get to experience this awakening, or this curiosity starting to open in people. And once you, as you know, once you start asking those questions, it's the red pill, baby. That's it. You know, there's no going back in the hole for you. You're going to get what you ask for. So,
you know what's so and so funny is that I'm just going to give my impression of what I think how things are right now. And if it rings true to the listeners, then they can get behind it, because it may be their truth too. Or they may not have thought of it this way. But I look at life as though we don't just live one lifetime. We live multiple lifetimes. Like hundreds or thousands if we so choose. And this isn't the one lifetime where you have to get it all right in one lifetime, and then you, when you die, you either go to heaven or hell. I don't believe in that at all. Mm-hmm. I believe that we incarnate into this as a spiritual being living out a physical experience. But prior to incarnation, we've had a plan. We've had something that we decided to do to help other people around us, or the whole planet as a whole. And some of us came here to play the bad guy. Some of us came here to play the good guy. And therefore, there's no judgment. And if you go back to religious texts, and the reason I do this is because there's a lot of Christians out there, and they can get behind what Jesus had said. And really, I think he was a master. He just mastered his surroundings, and he knew. He was just a physical, a spiritual being living out a physical experience, just like the rest of us. But he allowed himself to tap into all aspects of himself that we're talking about here, the multidimensionality. So he was teaching, look, you will do these things and greater things. He said this. And he was just being the example, basically. He's like, okay, you all can do this. You just need to get rid of the baggage and maybe look at things from a different perspective. But we all have this potential. So I really look at it as though we live multi-lifetimes. And therefore, if you can kind of look at it that way, that this is almost like a game, like a video game, where you incarnate to do your part so that you can have some opposition against you so you can grow consciously or awareness. And it doesn't just happen to one person. It happens collectively across the globe, because we're all connected energetically. We're all consciousness. We're all connected in that way. So, you know, there's a lot of theories out there, that, like the 100th monkey rule, that if there's 100 monkeys that learn how to use a stick to, you know, go inside of a stump to pull out grubs, then the rest of them will figure that out as well, even if they're not on the same continent. If there's water that separates them, so there's a tipping point, basically, and that's how connected we all are. So there's science to prove what I'm saying, but I'm trying to get it into a rational form that everybody can understand. And one other thing that's important to understand is with the mind-body, thought becomes reality. So what you believe or what you think, it will manifest if you wholeheartedly believe it, because that's how powerful of a being each individual person is. But collectively, we're very, very powerful because our energies stream together. So life doesn't happen to us. It happens from us. So what you're thinking, that energy you're putting out, if it's negative, you keep attracting that same thing to yourself. And there's a lot of people that I, like an example I'll give is the same woman or same man will attract that same girlfriend or that same boyfriend over and over that's doing the same thing until they learn that particular lesson. And then they can move on from it. So they're just like, why do I keep attracting the same person to me? Well, there's something that there needs to be learned in that particular moment.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Will you please explain, share with us a bit about the emotional body and the emotional mental body connection? I think this is really key in the equation of our health. And this is the emotional and mental bodies are specifically denied in the allopathic model, as you know. Right, there's nothing going on. You're just a body, but we actually are very complex in our feelings and our thoughts, and they definitely do attract what we're focusing on. And the emotional connection is also key. And will you please share with us a bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about the glands earlier, and how as your glands produce hormones, there's a biofeedback loop that influences the rest of the glands in the body. And you have this emotional body that we call, and of course it's influenced through your emotions. So for example, if you're really down and out, but all of a sudden you feel, or you if you think about an individual that made you laugh one time, it was like the funniest thing you ever saw, all of a sudden you smile, you feel better. You can feel that because that emotion of good feeling influences the hormones in your body, which makes you feel euphoric. So we have a choice here in this world of dualistic up, down, hot, cold, good, bad type thing. So if you're in a depressed mood, think of something that makes you feel better. And whether it was an event that happened, whether it was a movie you watched that was so funny, that it will totally change your perspective, your reality that's right in front of you. And just try it, because I know it's hard to get behind some of these concepts, and it's difficult when you're in a depressed state, but just try it. And the sooner you do it, the better you feel and the quicker you feel. Because like I said, all of this is interconnected. Your emotions are connected to your physical, to what you think. So again, what you think is what you project, and therefore that's what you attract electromagnetically back to yourself. So some of these emotional bodies, though, they can be from an internal source such as yourself, your thought, like, oh gosh, that person's been very mean to me at work the past week. So you're thinking it, and therefore it becomes your emotional body, and you feel bad. Or it could be an external source. It could be somebody that you're close to, somebody that you're living with, and they're feeling bad, and you're picking up on it because energetically you feel it. Emotionally, or it could actually be the earth, because she's transitioning and we're connecting to the earth right now. Actually, we've always been connected, but we're connecting more so right now because we're all in this transition. And the what you talked about earlier, maybe like the cabal, all the controlling factors such as the media and education and those types of things, all of this is changing right now. We're going into a higher vibrational frequency, a more positive state of being, because quite frankly, I don't really think we need this dualistic world anymore. It was more of a three-dimensional frame of reference for us to learn these lessons of life within this physicality, but I think we're really, my own personal feeling is we're moving out of it, and we're And that's the hope that I want to bring to people is like, look, if you're feeling bad right now, first of all, stop and check yourself. Is it something that you have internally, whether it be currently, or is this a residual energy that you've had from a past life, or was it something that happened to you in your childhood? And some of the things that we thought we've dealt with in the past, even a year ago, they're back in our faces right now. And I think we're all going through this like, wait a minute, I thought I've already dealt with this. And these are just these residual energies that are hanging on. And as the higher vibration comes in to this planet, it's helping us get rid of the lower vibratory frequencies or these attachments, this negativity. And therefore, you can see how the mind, the body, the spirit, the emotion, how it's all interconnected. If you think something negative, all of a sudden you become low because it's all interconnected. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, surely it does. Please share with us a bit about your interpretation of the shift, the planetary shift, the vibratory shift that we're in.
Oh, boy. Again, this is a big story to try to get it all out. And that's why I'm stuttering and going all in different directions here.
You're doing a great job. This is very helpful. And so, yeah, just when you mentioned the shift and the challenges of dealing with that, the fact that we are empathic, that we are not only feeling ourselves, but we're feeling each other and the planet itself. We are joined by energies that are not percepted or that we cannot perceive with our human eyes necessarily. Some people have a broader range, but the average, the human perception is not technically assumed to be able to see these vibratory fields, but we are in fact all connected by them regardless of whether we can see them. And that in our time now, we are experiencing a shift from a 3-4-D, a phenomena where we've played out polarity and opposites and conflict and all of these things in a very dramatic way for the benefit of our learning and our development as a human, having a human experience. And that, you know, there's comfort to be found in our ability to know ourselves, what's going on, recognize the feeling and pay attention to the thought and go ahead and get in the workshop of our mind and say, well, maybe try on this thought, it might feel better. And we can become very engaged in our own inner process, and that could bring us comfort, that could open new doors, deeper understanding of where these thoughts and feelings are coming from, the stuff we haven't finished with that we thought we were. So I think you've done a great job. And appreciate all of that. That's a lot of very valuable information. And, you know, we hear a lot about the shift, you know, those of us that pay attention to this level of the conversation, you know, we hear about the shift and, well, I'll just speak for myself, certainly feel this shift and certainly recognize different things that I know were coming. I've been aware of this my whole life, and now I'm seeing things manifest, and it's heightening for me. My awareness is becoming much more specific. So the shift of consciousness, the shift of energy has so many definitions and so many experiences and so many ways of exploring it. So however you experience that would be really awesome, because somebody else might just, you know, appreciate the wording and they'll get it because you said it that way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And things are energetic. People are drawn to particular people, places, things that will help them manifest whatever's in their greatest good and everybody around them, as well as an understanding. But the way that I look at this shift is that, you know, we know through the fossil records, through the core samples of the planet, ice samples, all these things, that things happen in cycles. That's just how the universe works. And as above, so below. If you were to look at an atom and how the energetic vibration of that particular atom is, it goes up and down. That's what a wave does. Well, that's at the smallest level that we know of, but I'm sure that there's more to it than that, according to string theory. But at a larger level, you could picture this solar system going as a wave, going up and down. And it takes thousands of years to go up this roller coaster before we start down. Well, the way I look at it is we're heading up, upwards. We're ascending into a higher vibration. And cyclic, in a cycle type of a way, our universe and our at least our solar system, I think, it, like I said, as above, so below. As we're going up, we're cycling into a higher vibration. And therefore, not just the planet, not just the human beings, but everybody and everything that's in the solar system and probably universe is going upwards into this shift. And we're basically shifting into a higher vibration. And it doesn't happen in a snap of the fingers. I mean, that would be very difficult. I mean, it's difficult as it is right now with what we're talking about, our emotions and our feelings and energetically. The way the universe works is it's subtle. But because we're at the cusp, I think we're being bombarded with a higher vibratory frequency, energies, photons, however you want to look at it or define it. Right now is where, right when we're about ready to flip the switch or that first domino falls, and then all the rest are going to come tumbling down. And then we're going to be through it. But we've done most of the work up to this point. We're just kind of this last leg is the way I feel. It's like, I can't wait for that first domino to fall. You know, and we're right there. That's the feeling that I get, especially this month, towards the end of this month, around the 21st to the 23rd just keeps coming up in my head for some reason. I just think something big's going to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't think it's going to be bad. And it may be something personal for me, but I think it's global. And I think it's going to be a good thing. But again, pay attention to your feelings, your emotional. For instance, all illness or disease starts from the emotional body, with no exception. So, how do you feel about yourself? If you don't love yourself, if you hate this particular part of yourself, you need to take a look at that and love yourself unconditionally. Your whole body, the mind body, the emotional, the mental, the physical, all of it. Because that is where the dis-ease starts. It allows your vibration of those particular cells to vibrate at a lower frequency, and it's not at your optimal health. And that's how dis-ease starts, and that's how it potentiates until you can get over that. And again, it starts with the emotional body.
Thank you. Share with us, please, in your practice, in your energy healing practice, could you give us some examples with, you know, for respect to the confidentiality and things, but would you give us some examples of patients that you've worked with in a particular diseased and imbalanced place, and then how you went about identifying the underlying emotion, and then what appropriate healing modalities might have been useful in that particular circumstance, so we can create a bit of a framework for people who might be listening, you know, okay, well, this is all great talk, but what does it mean on the ground, you know? Okay, so I have this ailment or this concern going on in my health, and then where does this energy, emotional stuff fit in? You see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. What we're trained in mainstream medicine is to look at the physical part of the body, say the throat or the thyroid, and say you're having hypothyroidism. Well, when you have a hypothyroid, that means you need a supplement like Synthroid to replace that part of your body, that gland, the thyroid. So that biofeedback loop we talked about earlier is in a homeostatic way. Well, if you look at it in a different way, like energetically, you have a chakra there, the throat chakra. And so if you're having a thyroid disorder, what could that mean to the person? The first thing it means to me as an energy healer, as a practitioner of various modalities, is that that person's not speaking their truth. There's somebody that holds things in and it's right there. The energy's collecting there and it just won't come out because they won't allow it to. They're not confident in themselves, or they have maybe they're timid, and they need to speak their truth, and they need to just come out and say what they feel. And because if they hold that energy in, again, it creates the dis-ease. Whereas if you release that energy, that feeling or that negativity or whatever you're holding on to, that you just got to get off your chest, so to speak, then that's when the healing begins. So that's an example of energetic and physicality mixed together and how to look at it. And this, I mean, there's multiple examples of this. As far as an example of a healing that happened in my own day-to-day practice, there's an example of a gentleman who came to me. He was seeing other physicians, and he had this cough. And he was maybe 50, in his 50s, early 50s, and he came in with this cough, and, you know, I treated him as though it was a bronchitis, as did a couple of the other physicians he saw. But then this cough was persistent. So what nobody else did was a chest x-ray, because I was a little suspicious. I had this intuitive thing going, like, oh, wow, no one ever did the chest x-ray. We better check this, because things that hang around and don't go away are a little concerning. So here it turned out, long story short, is that he had lung cancer that metastasized to his brain. And this is a long process here, but I offered him traditional medicine to go to the oncologist. I offered him hypnotherapy or guided meditation or energy healing or a combination. And he chose to do a combination of the three, even though he didn't wholeheartedly believe in the energy healing and the meditations and stuff. He didn't know because he never experienced it, but he was open to it. And this gentleman, he smoked cigarettes. I think it was a pack a day, but he also worked in elevators, which he may have been exposed to asbestos. And without giving too much of the history and all this, basically the oncologist told him that he had about 2 months to live. And this was somewhere around August, I believe. And he came in and he told me, he was really optimistic. He said, look, he said, you'll be getting a Christmas card from me. And I thought, wow, okay, that's what I want to hear. And I was really upset with the oncologist for taking that gentleman's hope away. A year and a half later, he's still alive. And he was, he was still going through the energy healing and the meditations. And it was like he did a total turnaround. The oncologist told him, he says, whatever you're doing, you keep going to that person, whatever he's doing, because I don't know why you're still alive today. It wasn't me that was doing it. I was channel to allow the energy to flow freely through me that provided him the energy to collect or to use at his will if he believed in it, if he so chose to use it. But the one thing, and this goes back to respecting your body and loving yourself unconditionally, he passed away a year and a half later, which he was only suspected to live for maybe 2 months. But he didn't quit smoking. So this is the point I'm trying to stress, is you have to love yourself unconditionally. And your physical body is telling you when there's something causing a disease other than energetics. That was a cause of something physical, a chemical that was causing the problem and potentiating it. And if he would have quit, I really believe that my thoughts were, I was hoping that he would have been a total success story and all that. But we all have free will, and he had his choice, and he chose to do what he did. And so there's no judgment. I mean, to me, it was a blessing in disguise that I actually got to participate in such an event.
Will you share with us about the different modalities you use? So in that situation, you used guided meditation and hypnotherapy. And how did those complement the allopathic, the oncologist's whatever choices that he had there? How does hypnotherapy work as a healing modality?
Well, again, thought becomes reality, and things don't happen to you; it happens from you. So, as you're in a space and you allow yourself to quiet down and get into certain brain waves, the suggestibility gets better, and basically, I suggest to him what he wants. So he's using me as a tool to get the ultimate outcome, which is healing. And again, if you believe in it, it will manifest. So hypnotherapy and energy healing is very helpful if the particular person believes in it and uses it. If you don't believe in it, for example, if somebody comes into me in mainstream medicine and they say, to me, "Hey, I'm thinking about getting the flu shot. What do you think?" And I'm not a big advocate of it. I don't get it myself, and I wouldn't recommend it to my family. But each individual person needs to be responsible for themselves and their own health care. I can only tell you what, you know, I can just say I wouldn't do it. So you need to make your own decision in regards to that. Because I don't really know what is being put into these things. There's a lot of speculation out there. I think the body can naturally take care of itself and all this. So that's my take on it. But if that person says that, well, every time I get this flu shot, I feel like it protects me throughout the year and I don't get the flu. Well, that becomes reality. If you think that, then guess what? I'm giving you a flu shot if you want it. But it's your choice. One of the things that happens, though, is people give their power away. And this can be in medicine. This can be in day-to-day life, religions. You don't give your power away. You're responsible for yourself. There's nobody coming here to save you. You are responsible. See, this is the biggest problem. This is the biggest message I could say is be accountable for yourself. Be responsible for yourself. And the golden rule always applies. Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. That's how we should live our lives. So therefore, we don't need these laws and rules, if everybody would play by that simple rule. And, you know, there's not much more I can say about that. I mean, basically, that's my take on it.
Well, very well said. Very well said. Now, in the overall picture of energy healing, these modalities basically are integrating the body, mind, spirit connection. They're not exclusive to one or the other. Do you feel confident, comfortable sharing a little bit about the molecular makeup of the body? This might be a way that the energetic puzzle might fit a little bit more, because, you know, the science that we're outgrowing, you know, the very static science is suggested to us from birth that the body is matter, that it's this mass. And is it not true that actually the body is not mass like a jelly bean, that each cell inside of our body is composed of more processes and electromagnetic signals and all these things going on that we haven't even figured out, but there's nothing really solid in a cell. Is that correct?
Well, this depends on the particular's viewpoint, their perspective, what tool they're using, whether it be a microscope, all these things. But yes, I believe that we have physicality, which is matter, and I think we have light. So I think they can coexist together depending on your viewpoint and your perspective. But for example, there was research done by a Russian scientist, Kirlian Semyon, I believe his name was. And he was using auric photography. And for example, he took a picture of a leaf, okay? And it showed this energetic wave around it, this energy around it through the picture. Well, he cut the leaf in half and only took a picture of the leaf, right? Half the leaf. But what showed up in the picture was the entire leaf instead of half of it, which he took a picture of. So at least energetically, what that suggests to us, that things come up from it's like a template from a higher dimension down to our dimension in, say, 3D, at least what we had perceived as 3D prior to 2012 or whatever. But so that template is energetic in nature, and then the physicality comes later. And there's a timing. The way we perceive time here is, this is really difficult without getting into string theory and quantum physics and all this, but you're right. There's two aspects that we're having a difficulty measuring right now. One is the photons, the lights, or the light of the particular thing we're looking at, say it was the leaf. Another example of this is an apple. They took a picture of an apple, and of course it showed an auric field around the apple. And then they took this picture, they cut it up into 50 pieces, and they took one of these pieces and ran this, I forget what it was, electro something or another through it. It's hard for me to remember offhand, but Anyway, it showed the entire apple. So it suggests that the whole is in all its parts.
So, the hologram.
Yes, exactly. So when people say that this reality is just an illusion, well, we view it in with our five senses, so it feels real to us with our perspective of what we've been taught all our lives. But really, if we were to study things in a different way, say these quantum physicists and string theory guys, they'll tell you that they look at it differently than what the traditional science says.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Because I feel like this is the opportunity of our consciousness growing, is there is an innate connection in the spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, whoever, whatever bodies we haven't even yet discovered. They're all interconnected because we're a manifestation of the universe itself. So the whole journey of exploration itself is just ready for us to get curious and find out how they're connected, you know? So this is reflecting in our science, and science is not separate from the rest of it. It's part of it. And when we say, well, you know, there's this conflict between spirituality and science, it's just our own inner conflict of what we don't know yet. There can't possibly be a conflict in my mind, because we are all part of the universe itself. So I don't think the universe is confused here, you know?
Yeah, it goes back to 8-10% of our brain that we're using. Story of why the only reason I like to talk about why, you know, we're dumbed down and all this kind of stuff is to help people understand the manipulation that has taken place. Because if you don't know the history, you can't come to the reality of where we are today and what's about to happen. I mean, it's you can't put the whole puzzle together to make it make sense of why things are the way they are unless you have the whole picture. And you have to go back to know about chemtrails and to know about what chemicals are in our foods and the waters and the pharmaceutical companies and the banksters and all of this stuff. Once you research each thing and you almost become an expert in every aspect, and then you put it all together, you're like, oh my gosh, this is what's really going on. It is such an eye opener when you do that. So it's hard for me to just sit here and tell you just about the physical body when there's so many more variables that play into this whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I share that. The rabbit hole of personal growth is intimately connected to the rabbit hole of the world we have chosen to be born into. They are very intimately connected. And, you know, the geoengineering and the chemtrails and the heart programs are very revelatory of the insomnia, or the absolute disconnect from nature that humans have become. And we've had a series of geoengineered storms here the last few weeks in New England. And, you know, the integrity of the storms themselves have radically changed. It used to be snow clouds, you know, clouds would come in and you would see the ball of clouds coming in, and snow clouds had a particular look. They were particularly heavy with moisture, particularly black. You know, a snowstorm was a presence, and it was coming over the horizon, and you knew it. Now the storms all mimic a hurricane kind of behavior. There's always an eye of the storm. They talk about this now on the Weather Channel. And now, you know, people are telling me about the eye of the storm when it was snowstorm. And I am asking them, well, do you remember when snow clouds used to happen? Snow clouds.
Right.
You know, blank. And so I feel like one place that I found peace with this has been a very challenging for me as a beloved sky watcher forever. I've been watching this intimately for over a decade, the sky changing. So this one's been one of my very personal, you know, rabbit holes with loving my people, loving myself, communicating. You know, it teaches you all these great things about being appropriate and sharing your truth and allowing people their truth and understanding that we're all in this together. And to be able to find a way to just be in your truth and not have to, you know, bother people about it, but still find a way to, you know, mention these things are going on, because, you know, it does matter that the environment is being manipulated, that the weather is being geoengineered. It really does matter. You know, the planet itself, I think, is trying to call out to us. So it's a very interesting equation, the way that these things challenge us to remember who we are. You know,
Yeah, absolutely. And what's important is that once you realize these things are happening, it's not, it's important not to focus or dwell on it as though it's doom and gloom and be in fear, but recognize it, but then send it love. No matter what problem that's out there, just send it your healing energy, your love vibration, whatever. Don't focus on it, because again, what you put out there is what you bring back to yourself. But you have to understand it so you know that, okay, this is for real. Now I have to put action, not just thought, into things so they manifest, because we're these co-creators of our reality. We all co-create what, and this goes back to that 100th monkey rule. The more of us that think one thing at one time, it becomes our reality. So you can imagine if somebody's out there that's controlling the media, and all of a sudden, all over the world, they're claiming this meteor is coming, it's going to destroy the earth, and oh my God, it's the worst thing imaginable. And the more people that believe that, well, guess what? So it's important to say, look, fine, whatever. Maybe it is a physicality, but you know what? We collectively have the choice and the ability to make that asteroid veer off and go somewhere else. All you have to have the thought and the belief and the connectedness to do so. That's what we need to do, is come together collectively, because we are powerful beings.
Exactly, which is why we need to educate ourselves about what is going on.
Right.
So we have a collective understanding of, you know, some basic stuff. So that's fantastic. You know what? This time has gone by so fast. Please tell us, Dr. Joseph Mara, we are speaking to Dr. Joseph Mara. Please tell us where we can find out more information about you and about your energetic healing and about your work with the Exo University.
Yes. Well, I have a website. It's called A Guiding Light, LITE, and it's aguidinglight.com. You can email me at aguidinglight@gmail.com. I have a YouTube page also. It's under Universal Talking. And the Exo University, Alfred Weber created this university. And if you go to exouniversity.com, you can org. I'm sorry. That's what I thought. I was like, wait, that's not right. So, yeah, again, exouniversity.org. There are free previews there of courses that are going to be coming down the line here. And again, it's a work in progress. So, if you want to, Google that or get online and check that out. Also, Alfred has a newsletter that's exouniversity.org. If you want to sign into that, you can get updates of when the classes are coming out. And, my particular course comes out, or is going to be coming out every month. And it's called Energy Medicine, Transitioning Today's Current Medical Practices, An Approach Towards Self-Healing. And, I mean, these are really reasonably priced. They're like $4.95 or something a course. So it's like $5 a month if you were to take these courses, just to learn more about what we've been talking about today. And if you need anything personal, I have that website that I do personal distance healing, hypnotherapy, angel card readings, private meditation, various things like that. So that's basically where you can find me at.
That's great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So you can email him at aguidinglite@gmail.com, correct? And that's for information about the energy work that you do and exploring different options of how you might be of service to somebody, offering your one-on-one healing, and then to learn more about the course of that you're offering at the EXO University, they can go to exouniversity.org. And in our last few minutes, would you like to offer us your words of inspiration, your word? What would your final words be? And then I'll close us up.
Well, I would say enjoy the ride. Be in joy. That's the most important thing that a person can do. And what are you willing to give up to be in joy? Because we hang on to a lot of things, baggage and material things. Those who are clinging to the past and want that to continue are going to be the hardest hit with these energies that are coming in, because we're in a transition energetically, and then therefore physicality comes in. It's always energy first and then physicality, because energy streams so fast. And that's why it takes us a while to catch up with certain things. And maybe explain why the 2012 event, people were expecting so much to happen. And again, the universe works in subtle ways. So I really think that a lot did happen behind the scenes, but because of the media, a lot of the things that did happen that could have been considered miraculous weren't expressed via the media. So just know that we're in a positive way right now, and we're going faster and further down this rabbit hole as you were speaking, and it's important to raise your vibratory frequency. How do you do that? Get out into nature. Take your shoes off. Plant your feet in the Mother Earth. Eat less processed food. If you can avoid it altogether, eat naturally occurring foods like vegetables and fruits, and drink lots of fresh water. Meditate every day, because you have to go in and tap into your heart. Go with your heart, not your head. And all these things that we're talking about here will help you in these transitions. And if you need further advice, just contact me at aguidinglight@gmail.com or aguidinglight.com, LITE.
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been a tremendous wealth of information and insight. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the Alchemy of Light broadcast. And thank you to the listeners for joining us. I hope this has been helpful for you. And I want to thank all the ancestors that have walked before us in the light of truth and brought us this opportunity to continue the healing and pursuit of joy in the human species and for all life here on this planet that we are sharing this magical journey with. And thank you to all of our friends in high places, our spirit guides, etc., that have all joined us in this broadcast. And thank you, BBS Radio, the boys in the back, for being awesome as you are always. And I thank you very much again, Joseph, for joining us. And this is Jamil Graham. Yay. Great. This is Jamil Graham, your host. And did you want to say something else?
Nope. I just wanted to say thank you for having me. It was very enjoyable. I like coming on these shows. And if you ever need me to come back, if there's a need for that, or if your listeners enjoyed the program, I'd be glad to come back anytime.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know, we're all in this together, and we got so much opportunity now to just really be of service, and it's really exciting to connect and to share the ride. So do not be surprised if you do not hear from me again. I'm certain that will probably be in our future.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you so much. So yeah, and thank you all again. This is Jamil Graham, your host. This has been the Alchemy of Light broadcast, a celebration and exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. And in 2 weeks, we will return. Please do take care of yourselves and take good care of each other. If you'd like more information about the shows and things coming up, just check out my blog, alchemyofleg.org. Bye-bye for now.